Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he was just out riding dirt bikes with a friend, and all of a sudden, a strong wind blew in. So strong, he couldn't ride against it. It was then that he saw a pure white figure on the tracks. Who was it? And what did it want?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802 to call in and share your real ghost stories with us, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. You were just recently at a spooky con convention type thing, correct?
I went to a Paracon around my area. It was a great time.
That's what it's called, Paracons. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word at that moment in time. So tell me, I've yet to ever go to a Paracon in 10 years of doing this show. What was your thoughts?
This one was a very small one. I know a lot of them can get very large and have just tons and tons and tons of people. Mm-hmm. This was a smaller one. I got to meet some of my favorite ghost people from TV. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit, not only about investigating, but also about the big blow up at Discovery Plus and all that kind of stuff. And all these shows got canceled.
Yeah, what is going on over there? Because I can't quite figure it out. I know like HBO has like bought them, right, or something, and
I think it's the other way around or something.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of debt. And in order to clear the debt, they just canceled tons of shows.
Oh, okay.
So I had an opportunity to talk with some big time players in the ghost hunting thing. And hopefully it all gets resolved. I because for me, whether they're really out there investigating well or just kind of having fun doing it, I enjoy those kinds of shows. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss them. So
how much has been canceled? Because I'm not even aware of how much. I just know that it's been really weird with Discovery Plus promoting themselves as this outlet. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, now half the content's going to HBO, or Max or whatever the fuck they're calling it this week. And it just seems like kind of a real shaky area right now.
Well, I will say this. A lot of the shows that I watched are gone. Including it sounds like Ghost Hunters, which is one of their bigger shows, is probably not coming back on that network, probably going someplace else.
Wow. So yeah, a lot of it was Travel Channel that was running those things.
Yep.
So
yep.
Wow. I wonder what, because they've been trying to push ghost stuff for a while. So I'm wondering if they're needing to go back to travel.
I would love to see there just to be a paranormal channel.
Yeah.
And just run all the good stuff and run really bad stuff too, like local ghost hunting people and stuff. I think that would be so intriguing to watch even the bad stuff.
I think it would. I mean, that's what you got YouTube and everything for these days. And I think the networks are just trying to find a way to make content. It's crazy how expensive it can be to get a show produced for them, and crazy how cheap it can be when somebody wants to make it and put it on YouTube. And how honestly the quality in a lot of times not that different. It just depends on the show, but so it's like, well, oh, we're able to do this for $500 over here, and supposedly this requires $50,000 an episode to get over there. But I don't know. That's interesting. Well, that's really interesting. You got a chance to do that. That's pretty cool. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our caller. Hi.
My name's Peyton. I've been listening to your show for a few weeks now. Love it. Just keep up the good work. It helps me get through my work day. Love hearing everyone's stories, and always been fascinated by paranormal stuff. So thank you guys. I have a quick story for you guys to share with you. It's something that happened to me a few years ago when I was back in high school. So anyway, I was maybe sophomore or junior in high school. And I had a good friend who had some property out in northern Colorado where we lived, and it's probably about 20 or 30 acres, and it was all, typical northern Colorado property, lots of huge trees, had a big river running through the property and everything. And we used to go out there pretty frequently, and we would ride dirt bikes. So one afternoon after school, we went out onto the property and did our usual thing, started riding dirt bikes. And one of them was broken, so we were down to one, and we were just alternating on it, and had a little dune buggy or whatever as well. So we went out there and started riding around. So starts getting a little bit darker. We were out there for a few hours, and it's my turn to ride the bike. So there's a little game trail that goes throughout a large majority of the property, probably stretches at least 2 or 3 miles in total. So we used to just ride along that, build some jumps on it, and what have you. Anyway, so it's my turn to ride the dirt bike. So I'm on our usual little trail that we have, and my buddy's sticking behind back near the house. So I'm riding, it's getting a little bit darker. And this particular trail ran perpendicular with an old abandoned railroad track series that ran through his property as well. So the trail kind of, you know, the whole time you were riding on it, you were also riding with this train track that was up on a hill to your left, or, you know, whichever way you were riding. So I'm riding, and it's getting pretty dark at this point. I'm probably a good mile or so down the trail. And so I decide, you know, okay, well, I'll turn around. It's getting dark. The bike didn't have a light on it or anything. So I turn around and I start heading back. So I'm coming and I'm riding for a couple minutes. Just taking my time, enjoying the night, and all of a sudden, I just get taken over by this huge breeze, and it's very unusual. You know, it was a very still night, middle of summer, and this overwhelming breeze, and so I actually, it was so strong that I had to stop the bike and chill out for a second, because I couldn't ride. It was going to knock me off the bike, so I stopped. And I just kind of get this really ominous, eerie feeling around me. I decide I'm just going to try and ride through it. You know, I didn't want to be alone. I was, you know, a little high schooler out in the middle of this property. I just decide I'm going to ride through it. So I'm riding, and there's this one part of the trail where it dips down into this, like, ravine almost. And it goes for maybe about 100, 200 feet down in this little ditch. And on either side of you, you know, there's 3-4 feet tall grasses. So you can't, when you're down in there, it's kind of like you're secluded and you can't see anything outside of you. So the wind's dying down. I'm riding and I get down into this ravine and I come up out of it. And as soon as I come up out of it, I look to my right, which is where the train tracks are at this point. And plain as day, you know, even in the darkness, I can make out plain as day this white figure, pure white, and I can clearly see he's maybe 200-300 feet away from me, sitting up on the train tracks. And, you know, mind you, train tracks are at ground level, so, you know, I could make out his knees, and I could make out like almost a hoodie or like a robe, just illuminating white. So I kind of, in the moment, I didn't feel afraid or scared or anything. It was just very strange to me. So I keep riding. At this point, I'm very close to my friend. So I get back and he's on his phone and just hanging out. And I tell him about the winds and how, you know, how crazy it was. And then I tell him that I also saw what looks like a person who was sitting up on the train track. And I asked him if he knew anything about it or who it might be. And, he was, you know, he just looked a little puzzled or, you know, what are you talking about? And, I said, well, you know, and his dad has a construction company, mind you. So they have workers on and off the property intermittently. And, I asked him, you know, could it be one of your workers? And he's like, no, no, you know, they all went home at like 1 or 2. So, you know, at this point, I'm kind of like, all right, well, what could it possibly, or who could it possibly be? So we head back inside and we tell his parents, and, his mom is just kind of listening to me telling the story, and she's kind of just looking like disbelief, you know, like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? And as soon as I mention, you know, the person to her, she immediately says, well, this area of land used to be an Indian burial ground, or, you know, what have you, settlement. You know, as soon as I got that, I just ran with it. We immediately got online and started doing some research, and we actually found that she, you know, her information was accurate. You know, we looked at all the records from that area of land, and it actually gave us a specific tribe name that, you know, settled in that area. So we punched that tribe name into Google Images, and the very first picture that comes up is a group of maybe five or six Indians standing in a circle holding hands, all wearing, you know, pure white robes. So I was a little, you know, I was a little petrified, and, you know, still to this day, it's one of my best stories and my greatest experiences, being able to witness that and having that concrete evidence, you know, firsthand and fact checked and everything. So, you know, that was really cool. Just thought I would share that with you. I know I kind of rambled on for a little bit, so I apologize. It's kind of a lengthy story, but yeah, keep up the great work, guys. I really enjoy your show. And thanks.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Thoughts on all that?
I mean, I immediately thought maybe some sort of Native American thing going on. Also thought, like, with the winds and stuff, like maybe a UFO landed nearby.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Something, yeah. I mean, to not be able to move is, that's a creepy thing. And to be kind of feel like you're stuck, especially on a dirt bike. That usually can plow through most of anything. But,
yeah.
Wow. It would be very creepy, you know, you start doing the research and you start finding things that actually add up to what you're looking into. Probably satisfying, but also creepy at the same time to have those realizations.
Yeah, sometimes it feels good to get the acknowledgement that what you're thinking might be real. But then in the same aspect, you're like, well, maybe this isn't such a great idea after all.
It's a really creepy thing for people when they stumble across old photos of people. Number one, just regular old photos can be a little creepy sometimes, but when you add in like weird ritualistic, we're wearing robes and doing some sort of ceremony around a fire, holding hands or whatever, that makes it even creepier, which is why I want to every year take several photos of me like holding skulls and stuff, wearing a robe around a campfire, and make the pictures just kind of look like they were shot badly. And then I'm just going to print them off and put them in a folder. And then put them in a safety deposit box and then give it to my family when I'm dead. And then they can have the key and they'll be like, what the fuck is all this? And it's really just me with Halloween decorations trying to be really creepy.
But the rest of their lives, your family's thinking Danny was into some bad stuff.
They're like, oh my God, like, what was he doing? What was he? It's like, really, it's like, wait a second. Isn't that our Halloween skull? They're like, oh shit, it is. Like, what is... Oh my God. Yeah. And then everyone will realize, oh, he's just really fucking with us still from the dead. So got this whole list of things that people are going to be shocked by when I die someday. It'll be great. Especially my two houses ago, where I put, I think I put a skeleton, behind the fireplace that was built. And then I did the traditional, you know, red rum, you know, written there as well. So if they ever rip that apart, they're in for a nice little surprise. For a moment.
I like it, but you're just awful.
I think they'll laugh, wouldn't you? I mean, when you realize it's a plastic skeleton, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to call the authorities, but at the same point, it would be kind of unnerving to what exactly happened here. Anyway, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want all of our episodes ad-free, check it out on Apple Podcasts. Become a premium subscriber there. Get access to advanced episodes and the ad-free episodes. Same thing on patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Despiértate, que el $4 Breakfast Meal Deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un Sausage McMuffin o Sausage Biscuit, Hash Brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.